Beautiful song. Thank you. You can put your songbooks up and get your Bibles out. Let's all go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'll read verse 1. You read verse 2 with me, and we'll read responsively just for a couple of verses down to verse 4. But Romans chapter 6 this morning, and verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for your precious blood that washes away our sin. Thank you for your salvation, your precious word, Lord, how you preserved it pure for us in the King James Bible. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us this morning. Please strengthen us as your people. Lord, speak to our hearts, and thank you, Lord, please, for all that you do. Help us this morning in this short time, in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. Romans chapter 6, they say in the Bible that if there are two books that when you get saved, somebody said it's such a big book, I don't know where to start reading. So how do you start? Well, when you get saved, one of the first books you could read would be Romans. It describes what God did when he saved you. The book of John, over 90 times, tells you if you'll believe, you can have everlasting life. If you'll believe on Jesus, you can have eternal life, and that salvation is forever. Somewhere between John and Romans are wonderful books that if you've never read them all the way through, you need to. Amen. You need to let God speak to your heart from his word. And that's if you're saved here in Romans chapter 6. God has used the Apostle Paul to tell us why in chapter 1, why people don't get saved. You say, well, if Jesus died for everybody and shed his blood for everybody and didn't want anybody to go to hell, how come anybody's going to hell? People go to hell because of the hardness of men's hearts and their pride and their hate for authority and our fallen nature that we got from Adam when he sinned. It messed everything up. It takes humility to get saved. And Romans chapter 1 tells you why people hate God and why the world is so messed up. Romans chapter 2 is going to tell you that you have a conscience. And Romans chapter 3 is going to give, we'll look at it here in just a second, one of the most beautiful pictures of salvation in the whole scripture. Romans chapter 4 is going to tell you it's not by works that you're saved. Works can never save you. Romans chapter 5, it's going to tell you it's by faith that you trust Jesus Christ. And when you hit Romans chapter 6, where we're at right here, God is going to spend Romans 6, 7, and 8 telling you how to live a victorious Christian life now that you're saved. So what we're getting ready to read, number one, it is not to lost people. There's no part of your Bible that's written to lost people. Do you know what happens when lost people read the Bible? You end up with cults. How can you interpret the Bible without God? If you don't have God living inside of you, the Holy Spirit, you can't learn his word. You can speculate, you can put things together, but the Bible was not written to lost people. It was written to saved people. And so with that platform going into this, the first question is, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's verse 1. So he says, now that you're saved and forever on your way to heaven, shall we continue in sin? And really, it's twice in this chapter. God forbid. How could And somebody said, well, now, somebody said, you can't teach. Look, once you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus doesn't save you temporarily. Jesus doesn't do anything halfway through the Bible. Amen. If Jesus saved you, it's forever. If you saved you by going to church and living a good life, it's only till you sin again. Right? Because you can't save you. But when Jesus saves you, because he died for you, it's forever. Amen. And so how could somebody said, you can't teach that. People will get saved and then they'll live any way they want. I guess, but I've never met anybody that did that. I've never led anybody to Christ that says, good, now that I'm not going to hell, I think I'll just go get drunk and go get, I mean, and then make the whole list. I've never met, I'm sure there's dork heads out there, but I've just never met somebody like that. But it is a good question to know, now that you're a child of God, if you're saved, shall we continue in sin? Rephrase it. Shall we keep on sinning what Jesus saved us from? The answer is God forbid. God forbid. So to a saved child of God that's put their faith in Jesus, he asks the question, look at verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Dead to sin. So once you get saved, the part of you that it still enjoys sin, but that part of you is dead. Now you have, and he's going to get into it, a new life in Christ that doesn't enjoy sin. And that's one of the things that makes the Christian life hard. Is because now that you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you won't enjoy the sin like you did before. You say, yeah, but I used to go to nightclubs and I used to drink and I used to do this and the drugs. You can still do it after you're saved, but you won't be happy. You'll be miserable because now that you're saved, the Holy Spirit's living inside you saying, you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be listening to that music. You shouldn't be talking that way. You shouldn't be doing that. And the Holy Spirit's inside saying, knock it off, knock it off, knock it off. You're dead to sin now that you're saved. And that was one thing in John chapter 6. We won't look at it this morning. That's how come it says many of his disciples walk no more with him. They couldn't handle that. You know what Jesus told them? When I save you, from that point on, you'll only be happy if you do what I tell you. You can live life any way you want. This is America. You can do anything you want in America, right? You've heard me say that before? But you'll only be happy doing what God told you to do. From that point, many of his disciples walked no more with him. Well, you're like an all or nothing. And I'm sure Jesus went, sort of. Yeah, I am God Almighty. Amen. So how are we that are dead to sin? How can we live any longer once he has saved us in what he saved us from? Can you go get drunk after you're saved? Yes, but you'll be miserable and you'll destroy people who watch you as a Christian defile yourself. Can you do drugs after you get saved? Yes, you can. But everybody who watches you do the drugs and knows you're a Christian, you'll destroy your testimony. It'd be just like, okay, don't take this thought too hard, but if I walked through your neighborhood last night, and if I was drunk last night, I wasn't, but if I was, and I was drunker than Cootie Brown, and you raised your window last night, and you said, hey, it's 2 a.m, knock it off, or I'm calling the police. Go to bed, drunk ding dong. Okay, whatever you want to call me, all right? And I walked back, and then you came to church this morning. And then you went, hey, wait a second. He was drunk on our street last night. Okay, real quick, would you listen to me preach? I wouldn't. So can I go get drunk now that I'm saved? Yes, but everybody who sees me do it, I'll destroy my testimony. Am I still on my way to heaven? Yes. Because drinking or not drinking or stopping isn't what takes you to heaven. Jesus is the only one that does that. But people who see you sin, you lose everything with. Amen? So, when you're saved forever. How are we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? From what Jesus saved us from, can we do it? Yes, but we won't find pleasure in it like we used to when we were lost. Okay, look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? What we're getting, baptism is mentioned in verse 4 too. What we're getting ready to read has nothing to do with water baptism. It has nothing to do with the baptism tank. It has everything to do with what happened when you got saved. If you're saved, God says, see, all the tank does is this illustrates what happened when you trusted Christ and when you're standing in the water. That pictures Jesus. You believe Jesus died for you. And when you go under the water, that pictures Jesus being buried. Here in verse 3, it says it's a picture of death, isn't it? How could anybody teach that tank saves anybody? Baptism is a picture of death, not life. That's what we just read, right? So baptism, I'm going to show you more, but this cannot wash away sin. All this is pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when they come up out of the water. So this tank, none of this. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that tank doesn't wash away sin. Me and another guy got baptized on my birthday, 1986, December 14th. Write that down. My birthday is December 14th. Never mind. Okay. But it was December 14th. That's why it's an easy day to remember. But when we got baptized, I'm so glad the baptistry does not wash away sin. If it did, who'd want to get in the water next? Ew. Be worse than bathing in somebody's bath water. Be like, drain it and refill it. Amen. No, baptism does not wash away sin. Here's the picture. Read the verse one more time and then I'll illustrate it to you. Therefore, we, those that are saved, those that are on their way to heaven, are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the... Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. The word baptize, it means to, and I put it on the back of the bulletin, submerge, bury, completely cover. It means, we learned this morning in Sunday school, it means more than immerse. To immerse means to go under and stay under. Baptism means to go under and come up. Okay? So, if you get the definition of the word, I don't know how anybody could sprinkle a baby then. If you know what the word baptism is defined as, how could anybody pour water over a baby? Well, better yet, for an adult when they come to church. So it's time to get... The word baptism means to submerge. You know why? Because when you got saved... Here, let me show you something. Keep your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Just over a couple of books. You got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body and one Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Watch. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay? Go back to Romans chapter 6. God says in the Bible, there's only one baptism. All of the other baptisms that you read about, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism, wisdom, and all this. Baptism, there's only one, right? God says in the Bible there's only one baptism. All the other baptisms are because of the one. And the one is verse 3 in Romans 6. When you got saved, Jesus didn't sprinkle himself on you. He didn't pour himself on you. He let you be baptized in him. You were submerged in him, completely covered. I'm so glad Jesus' blood wasn't sprinkled on me. It wasn't poured on me. I was plunged in one baptism when you trusted Jesus as your Savior. It has nothing to do with the water. That's not the one baptism. That baptism is because of the first one. Because you were placed in Christ and completely buried. When Jesus came inside you to live, when you asked him to save you, you were put in Christ and he lives in you. You're now the dwelling place of God. What a thought. That's how come somebody said, oh, you Baptists, you make too much of baptism. We don't tell anybody that it saves them, but we do make a big deal of the tank. Amen. I don't care if it's a tank or a river or any. I'm just telling you, yeah, if you're a Baptist, I would think you would understand baptism. You were baptized in Christ, and then finish verse 3. Ready? For, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Which means what? Because Jesus died for your sins and bore your hell. When he died for you, when you place your faith in him, his death pays for your sins. Now you don't have to die and go to hell. I don't have to wonder if I'm saved or wonder if I, well, I really hope. I think it's sad when people are tormented like that. You don't have to wonder if you're saved or hope you're saved or think you're saved. If you'll place your faith only in Jesus Christ, he will give you eternal life and you can know that you have eternal life. And the peace of God is what he gives after you get saved. That baptism, there's one baptism. It's a picture of death. That's why I've told, you know, I know we've got visitors here this morning, and that's a blessing. But the Lord's Supper table has the bread and the juice on it. That's one ordinance. And the baptistry is the second ordinance in the Bible. So there's two ordinances in a church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And please note, it's always in that order. That's the first ordinance. You can't take the Lord's Supper until you've been saved and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Once you've followed the Lord in believer's baptism, then you can take the Lord's Supper. And what happens when you put those two together? This is Jesus dying and being buried, and this is a picture of the resurrection. What's that? Put those two ordinances together, the death, burial, and resurrection, and you have the gospel. Believe the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. That's how I know it's a picture of what you trusted in to save you. It does not save you. It is so important to understand. Watch this. Some people teach about the Lord's Supper. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, we do it here every 3 months and four times a year. And when somebody's baptized, they'll think, that is the Lord's presence is really here when we take the Lord's Supper. The Bible doesn't teach that. We do it, this do in remembrance of me. The Lord isn't here more when we take the Lord's Supper, just like when somebody's baptized, like when Steve's baptized this morning. Yeah, it's a spiritual commitment. It's him saying, that's what Jesus wants me to do. I've trusted him as my Savior. Look, when he got, Steve, I'm using you as an example. If I need to sign a waiver afterwards, let me know. Okay. But when Steve got saved, you couldn't see his sins being washed away. When he got saved, you couldn't see him being given a home in heaven. You couldn't see the Holy Spirit indwelling him. You couldn't see the eternal life that God gave him when he got saved. So guess what he's doing this morning? Because when he got saved, you couldn't see anything. Now he goes in front of the church and he says, you couldn't see it when I got saved, but let me show you what I did. I got saved by trusting Jesus, and now that I'm in the tank, I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again. That's what he's doing. Amen? And so that's how come verse 4, watch this, this is what we rejoice in. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Once again, this is not talking about the tank. This is talking about salvation, right? We are buried with him by baptism into death. That's when the day you trusted Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, watch this, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Steve's new life does not start today when he got baptized. It started a month ago when he trusted Christ. From that day forward, his sins are all gone. He'll never die and go to hell because Jesus promised that and he's forever on his way to heaven. He has a new life. Here, let me show that to you. Watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, just go over two books. I don't know of too many Baptists that make much of baptism, so much of baptism that it's confusing. We rejoice this morning. We're happy that he's getting baptized because we used to be lost. There was a day I was on my way to hell and I saw that Jesus died for me. And I placed my faith in him. Now with me, I was over in the Mediterranean when I got saved in the Marine Corps. It'd be 5.5 months till I could come back to the States, enter a church for the first time. And then when I did, that deacon showed me, "Son, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior?" I said, "Yes, I have." He said, "Have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism?" I said, "I was baptized at age 12. He said, "Since you've been saved." I said, "No." He said, "Then you need to get baptized, son." He was dealing with me from the Bible. Amen? He's dealing with me from the Bible. Here, watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's another statement. Look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. What's this, 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if anybody is saved, whoever trusts Jesus and is put in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Wow. God says the part of you that was dead to God, you couldn't pray before you got saved. Amen. You can't. It says the prayer of the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to God. It says that in Proverbs. You can't even pray when you're lost. The only prayer God hears is, "Dear Jesus, please save me." And then he saves you. So the part, listen closely. The part of you that was dead to God, when you were saved, it was resurrected and brought back to life. That's what it just said, right? If any man be in Christ, he's now a new living creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what's so wonderful about salvation? All things are become new. Everybody likes a clean sheet of paper with nothing written on it. And when you got saved, all things were made new. I have a memory of what I did before I got saved. I wish I could forget it. I wish I could forget the shameful things that I did. What goes in the computer stays there. I'm so glad God did. When I got saved, I got a clean sheet of paper. All my sins were gone. All of them washed away, clean, made a new creature. That's why we rejoice in salvation. That's why you should be glad about the day you got saved. It's the day God took all of your sins away and gave you a fresh sheet of paper. We say, "Well, what's that?" Look, it's like this. I'm so glad when I come to God in prayer, he doesn't go, "Ooh, got to watch that one. He's a little stinker." All things are made new. It's a new sheet. The day you trust Christ, from that point on, all things are made new. God always says, so when I hit my knees and I come to the Lord in prayer, God says, "What is it, my child?" Before we weren't on talking terms. Now I got a clean sheet of paper. Now we are. For the rest of my life, for eternity, all of my sins are put on Jesus' account and my record stays clean. Amen? That is salvation. Now, as you're reading there, all things are become new. Watch this. Let's look at this new life in Christ. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's back near Revelation. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look, when you come to church, you're either being told or you're being showed. Amen. I'd rather be shown from the Bible what God said than told what somebody thought. That's why if you don't bring your Bible to church, I'd like to encourage you to. Amen. We'll turn together and I want you to see in the Bible what God says, not what Pastor Nash says. Amen. If I love this statement. If I die tomorrow, I did not like that statement. The rest of the statement I like, right? The Bible's still true. I'm not planning on dying tomorrow. But if I did, the Bible's always true, right? So isn't it wonderful to look in your Bible and say, I saw it for myself. I saw what the Bible says. Okay, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. He's writing to saved people again, right? Just like the whole Bible is. Look at verse 3. According as His divine power, God's power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So what was given you when you got saved? You were given so much when you trusted Jesus as your Savior. God gave you everything. You may not understand it. As a matter of fact, none of us understand it all. But you were given everything God wanted you to have. That's why coming to church is so important. So you can learn what God gave you. I know people that have toolboxes that have wonderful tools in them, and they never open up the toolbox. It's like, you know, you don't have to fix that with your pliers. You really could fix it with the right tool, but they don't use what's been given to them. They don't use their resources. That's the same thing with the Christian life. When you trust Jesus, He gives you all of Himself and everything that pertains to life and godliness. You can't use what you don't understand, right? So that's why we come to Sunday school. That's why we come to church, to learn the Bible, to learn what God gave us. Amen. If you just took the thought of my sins are all gone, my sins. If every day was a good day, and they say if all you sinned was three times a day, most would say that's a pretty good day. But I'm 58, and if I sin three times a day for a year, that's 1,000 sins, 365 times 3. 58,000 sins on my record if every day is a good day. And Jesus says, when you place your faith in me, I give you a new slate. They're all gone. They're gone as if you never sinned. Not gone and paid for like, ooh, look what Jesus did for you. They're gone and paid for as if you never sinned. That's what the word justified means. It means declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's why we rejoice. God's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I love this. Everything you need to make it as a Christian, God gave you if you're saved. You're struggling right now because you're not using what He gave you. But it's not because God didn't want to help you and God didn't want to give you what you need for life. Finish the verse, right? Watch this. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, which would be a godly life. Look at verse 4. Whereby, because of that, that's what the word whereby is, are given unto us, those that are saved, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. Watch this. Partakers of the divine nature. When you got saved, God says, do you want me? And when you got saved, God gave you of Himself, His divine nature. That's how I know I'm going to live forever. Because of the one who saved me. I partook of God. God gave me Himself. He didn't fix me. He saved me and indwells me. Christian, this is the same for you. This is why we rejoice as a Christian. This is something nobody else can see. But we rejoice in the spiritual, wow, that God would love me after all I did to God. And all I had to do was say, God, I'm sorry. I'm on my way to hell. Please save me. You died in my place and I placed my faith in you. When I did that, God says, He saved me. If you did that, He said He saved you forever from that point forward. Amen. This is what we rejoice in, the new life in Christ. And it is because of this we know that salvation is in Christ. Here we go. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Back near Romans, it's a couple of books forward, but Colossians chapter 2. I think if coming to church and as we learn the Bible together, And I think you ought to be reading it at your house. Amen. Lord help you if the only time you read your Bible is Sunday. God has a lot more for you than that. Amen. But church is supposed to be a help to you. All right. And I think one thing that helps Christians is if you can point out to them every time it says baptism in the Bible, it's not talking to, as a matter of fact, water baptism is in the Bible. Jesus called it a righteousness. It's something, but we, okay, how are we absolutely positive that it can't wash away sin? Well, number one, Jesus got baptized and he had no sin, right? That's one way I know. I'll show you another verse after this, but every time you read baptism in the Bible, it's not talking about water baptism. A few times it is. Most of the time, it's talking about when you got saved, when you were baptized or immersed in Christ, like Colossians chapter 2, ready? Watch verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a sermon in itself. But when you got saved, if you're saved, right now, if you're lost, your body and your soul are one. And your spirit is dead. But when you get saved, your spirit, remember, brought back to life? Your spirit is brought back to life, and God cuts your soul from your flesh and joins it to your spirit. That's the circumcision, right? The cutting. It's done without hands. It's what Jesus does. That's why before you got saved, your body and your soul were one. That's why all you knew was sin. That's why getting drunk can be fun, or fornicating, or living in sin and living without God, because your body and your soul, your personality are one. But the Bible says when you get saved, God cuts with what? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4:12. God cuts your soul from your body and joins it, brings your spirit back to life. Now guess what goes to heaven when you die? Your soul and spirit. Where does your body go if you're saved? In the grave. Right? But your soul and spirit go to heaven. Right? So there's a circumcision. There was a cutting that took place. That's how come you couldn't help but sin when you got saved. That's why now that you're saved, you have a choice. Nobody's sinless, but you don't. Once you get saved, there's no sin you have to do anymore. Amen? Because you've been brought to life and joined with Christ. Right? Read verse 12. It's going to talk about the baptism. Ready? Buried with him in baptism. That's spiritual. That's the salvation wherein ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Watch this. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. What's that word quickened mean? Brought to life together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. This morning, I wanted to take that phrase, walking in the newness of life. What newness of life? I'm alive in God now. I'm alive in Christ and my sins are all gone. I have a brand new life from my salvation forward. And I can never be put to death again because Jesus died for me on the cross. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth. As a matter of fact, that's once again, baptism in your Bible. There's a few times, but most of the time it's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about that one baptism where you were placed in Christ. And then why should you get baptized? If you're here this morning and you're saved and you've not been baptized, you need to. You say, how come? Because God told you to. Amen? Because it's the next thing you're supposed to do. Not to get to heaven. But because, my goodness, if he was willing to die on a cross for you and be buried and rose again to save your soul, this is the easy part. Amen? This is easy. He did the hard part. You trusted him. You're on your way to heaven. Now follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Watch this. Let me show you a verse. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. How do you know that baptism, How are you absolutely positive that baptism cannot wash away sin? Because the Bible says it can't. The Bible is very plain. As a matter of fact, let's take it this step. Here's where it gets scary. A lot of churches, not all, but a lot of churches teach if you don't get baptized, you're going to go to hell. If you believe that that tank, getting baptized in that water, gets you to heaven, you'll die and go to hell. That's how scary it is. Jesus is the only one who can take your sins away. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Amen. So let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. So he's going to refer back to Noah. Wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Okay. Were they saved from the water if they were in the ark? The answer is yes. Okay? So here, this is going to require some study. We know Noah wasn't saved. In other words, God meant what he said. God's word is right. Right? But there has to be something more here. All right? And sometimes that requires you to study a little bit. Watch this. Look at verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Wow. Water. Baptism, if you stopped right there, and that's where the churches stop, that say you got to get baptized or you can't go to heaven, that's where they stop. But what follows the word us? A parenthesis, right? It says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You've heard me teach this before, but if you haven't, ready? What's the rule about a parenthesis? If you put a parenthesis, parenthetical statement in a sentence, you should be able to take everything in the parentheses out and the sentence be a complete sentence, right? So if you read verse 21 without the parentheses, what does it say? Whereunto the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when you read the verse with English rules, what saves you? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead or baptism? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Baptism now, look at the parentheses. The first statement in the parentheses is what? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That would be sins. The Bible plainly says water baptism cannot wash away sin. Only the blood of Jesus washes away sin. That's how, here we go, I fear for people who are trusting their baptism to get them to heaven. Every once in a while, I'll ask somebody, hey, if you died today, do you know where you're going to go when you die, heaven or hell? Most people say, well, I hope heaven. And when I hear this, then I say, what are you counting on to get you to heaven? And then they start going through their list. Well, I was baptized, and I go to church, and I haven't killed anybody, and I haven't robbed a bank, and I haven't, and it's a whole bunch of things. Make logical sense, but none of that's found in the Bible. None. We're taught you get what you pay for, right? You don't pay much, you don't get much. That's not what Jesus did when he died for you. If you'll trust him only because he died for you, he takes all of your sins away. And if your works could get you to heaven, why did Jesus die? If you could get baptized to get your sins washed away, and if you could come to church and read your Bible, why did Jesus die? He died because none of this washes away sin. He's the only one that can take your sins away. This morning, I wanted to use Steve's baptism, amen, him following the Lord in believer's baptism as a way to teach baptism. And I don't teach on it a whole lot, but I think every once in a while, a person should understand and listen closely. We live in a Catholic area. This is the most Catholic area in America, which means what? If they're confirmed at 5, they're taught Mary's the mother of God and baptism washes away sin. Mary's the mother of God and baptism washes away sin. Mary's the mother of God and baptism washes away sin. They said, give us your children when they're little and they'll be Catholics their whole life. And when they die, they go to hell. That's what makes this morning serious. I'm trying to show you the Bible teaches differently than what churches teach. And it only matters what the Bible says. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, aren't you glad it's a free gift? Aren't you glad it's eternal? Aren't you glad it's a decision of faith? It's not a process. Aren't you glad it's simply looking to Jesus and putting your faith in Him? Aren't you glad it's simple? Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you can't go to heaven. What's that mean? Unless, because most people want to make salvation complicated. Well, you got to do this and this and this, and then you can't do this and you can't do this. And Jesus said, salvation is one thing, Jesus Christ and Him who died for you. It's one person. Salvation is a person. It's not a system. It's not a church. It's not a religion. It's one person, Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved this morning, aren't you glad? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Since it's one person, aren't you glad Jesus said in John 6:47, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life, period. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. And it happens one time in your life. Doesn't have to keep happening. Amen. Happens one time. I hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. Strengthen us as your people. Help us as we go to a lost and dying world. And Father, to rejoice in the new life that you've given us because we're saved. I pray that please you'd use this. Is there anybody here this morning? You say, Pastor, while you were preaching, God touched my heart.